stand with me? All over the room, take your Bibles out this morning. Go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Y'all ready for the word this morning? So proud of these folks that have followed the Lord in water baptism. We've been preaching on this subject, Ignite. This is our theme, right? This one word right here is our theme this year. On the count of three, everybody shout it out. One, two, three.
Ignite!
This is our theme. We're believing God to ignite us in revival. Ignite us in the fire of the Holy Spirit. How many of you guys weren't here Wednesday night? Don't be ashamed. You're not going to get in trouble. Let me see you. Oh, look around. Look around. Y'all missed it. You missed it. We had people say, we had almost 12 people baptized in the Holy Spirit Wednesday night. The teenagers were in the cafe, and the power of God got to moving, and they come running over into the room here. They started running up to the front, and God was just radically just wrecking them. We had an unbelievable time in the presence of God. Well, I preached a message entitled Host the Ghost. And I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Host the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all looked real strange at me. Host the Ghost. I'm not talking about that kind of ghost. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I talked about hosting the Holy Spirit, being a vessel that the Holy Spirit can move through and rest on our life. I'm going to follow that up today by preaching a part two of Host the Ghost, all right? So let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4, verse number 30. And I'm just so excited about my preaching. I can't tell you how excited I am about my preaching this morning. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Say that out loud with me, please. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, I know y'all can do better than that. I was at a Predators game last night. First time I've ever been to a hockey game. It was radical. They were a lot louder than that. Surely we're not going to let a bunch of Predators fans, hockey fans, put us to shame, are we? Ready? Say it out loud like you believe it's the Bible. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the word. You moved upon holy men as they wrote this book. Now, Lord, inscribe this word upon our heart, not just upon our minds, but upon our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you. You're going to need that scripture, so just keep it close by you. You know, I'm going to take you back a little bit, back a few years to big hair days. When you say big hair, what time frame do y'all think about? 80s. The 80s. I can say I got some other 80s folks here. Big hair days. We're going to talk about the 80s for a moment. In 1984, the American musician Prince wrote and published a song that many of you will recognize entitled When the Dove Cries. It was really a lead single from his 1984 album, Purple Rain. And this song, ladies and gentlemen, When the Dove Cries, was absolutely unprecedented as being a worldwide hit. It was his first American number one single, topping the chart for 5 straight weeks. According to Billboard magazine, it was the number one single of the year, certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America, and shipped over 2 million units in the United States alone in less than a year. That was unprecedented. Spin magazine ranked the song, When Doves Cry, the 6th greatest single of all time. It was number 38 in Movement's list of the greatest songs ever written. Rolling Stone ranked the song When Doves Cry number 52 on their list of the 500 greatest songs in the history of the world. This was no small song. This was a big, big song. Some of y'all remember it. For those of you who don't remember it, I remember it because I used to skate to it. You know, in the 80s, what you did for fun was you went to the skating rink. I was 14 years old. I know I'm dating myself right there, but I can remember this song. And even as I say the lyrics to you, I can hear Prince singing it in my head. Here's how the lyrics go. How can you just leave me standing alone in a world that's so cold? Maybe I'm just too demanding. Maybe I'm just like my father, too bold. Maybe I'm just like my mother. She's never satisfied. Why do we scream at each other? This is what it sounds like when doves cry. And then he tags it over and over and over again. This is what it sounds like when doves cry. Say that out loud with me, please. This is what it sounds like when doves cry. Now, Prince wrote this song for his movie to portray the dysfunction of his personal life, specifically his home life and his family life and his upbringing. However, I believe that the Apostle Paul wrote a similar lyric here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30, when he said, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." I think they were basically saying the same thing. Prince was saying, "When doves cry," Apostle Paul was saying, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." Now, don't cut me off. I'm going somewhere, and I can promise you're going to like my preaching as much as I do. The dove is mentioned about 50 times in the Bible. It's been a symbol in almost every culture. To the ancient Greeks in mythology and Aphrodite, she kept a dove as a pet, and it became a symbol of love. However, in the Word of God and in the Christian culture, you and I know the dove to be the representative of the Holy Spirit. Now, what's interesting is when you go to the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus and you look at all the laws, doves, turtle doves, and pigeons were the only birds, the only fowls that were specifically mentioned in the Old Testament that were allowed under the law of Moses to be sacrificed for Hebrew purification rituals. These doves were types and shadows of the moving of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer under a New Testament era, because the Holy Spirit is a sanctifying spirit. Everybody say, "He's a Holy Spirit."
He's a Holy Spirit.
He's a Holy Spirit. He's a sanctifying spirit. Now, what's interesting, the first reference to the dove is found actually in Genesis chapter 8, verses 7 through 12. However, it's obvious from the very first verse in the book of Genesis that there was that the Holy Spirit was active and moving from the very beginning of time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Holy Spirit was the one that was involved in that. God the Father said, "Let us make man in our image." The Holy Spirit was involved in that. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Genesis 1:2. That was the Holy Spirit involved in that. So look at me. Even though the dove is mentioned for the first time in Genesis chapter 8, he actually was mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, and the dove, the Holy Spirit, is in every book of the Bible all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Are y'all with me? In fact, the Genesis narrative is clear that birds were created on the fifth day. And what is so interesting is when you read the story of Noah in Genesis chapter 8, there's really two species of birds, even though all kinds of birds were put in the ark. Two species of birds that he interacts with, the raven and the dove. The raven and the dove. Now, my daddy was a bird hunter. My daddy used to love to bird hunt. He wasn't much for deer hunting or anything else, but he loved to bird hunt. He loved to quail hunt. And my grandfather and my daddy would take me quail hunting, and they had these dogs that would run around. And one of my favorite things was to watch these dogs getting a froze up and point, you know, and we would kick and the quail would fly and we would shoot, and man, we just had a great time. There would be times we'd be out hunting when I was little and I had a little 410, what probably wasn't shooting anything. Honestly, my daddy was shooting everything, but I thought I was big time, you know, because I was shooting whatever was moving. And there would be times I'd get out in the woods and all of a sudden we would hear a sound. Now, I'm going to have them play this sound, because this is the sound that I would hear right here. And I was at like Elmer Fudd. Like Elmer Fudd, I'd hear that sound. And then I would notice, setting up in a tree or setting on a limb somewhere, there would be this bird, and I would point at my gun at it like I was going to shoot that bird, and my grandfather would take his hand, his big old brick-laying hands, and he would push the barrel of the gun down like this, and he'd say, "No, son, that's a dove. We don't shoot doves." Now, what's interesting about that is my grandfather wasn't saved at that time. My daddy wasn't saved at that time. But they had a sense about them that there was something holy or special about the dove, and you just don't shoot the dove. And so I learned from a very early age, and to this day, people go dove hunting, but I won't go dove hunting because there's something that's been ingrained in me. Whatever you do, don't shoot the dove. Say that out loud with me, please. Whatever you do, don't shoot the dove. Now, today, you're going to hear that sound as I preach over and over again. In fact, about every 60 to 90 minutes, you're going to hear a dove cry. Did you know that doves cry? You're going to hear this dove cry. And the reason I'm doing this is I want you to get your senses filled with the sound of the dove crying. Let me go back to the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, the world had come under a great wrath of God. And the Bible says the earth had been flooded and all humanity was destroyed except for Noah and his family. Now, after 150 grueling days in the ark, Noah, about to lose his mind with his crazy family up in here. The Bible says that he opened a window. And the scripture says that he let a raven go out of the window. Look at it in Genesis chapter 8, verse 6 and 7. And at the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made, and he sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. The 40 days here is after the tops of the mountains were visible. This is obvious to us from verse number 5. It tells us this. Over 7 months after the flood began, a raven, for the first time, was released. And the Bible never tells us that this raven returned back to the ark. Now, do you know why the raven did not return? Because the raven is a scavenger bird. And the earth had been destroyed and was full of dead flesh everywhere. So what the raven did was it went and it lit upon the first carcass of men that it could find, and it fed itself with the rottenness of that dead flesh. That's what ravens do. The Bible says then that Noah opened the window again and he released a dove. And the scripture says the first time he did it, that it went out and it returned because its nature was not that it would sit upon dead flesh. So it would not, it couldn't find anything to set on. A second time, he opens the window, he sends out the dove, and the Bible says this time the dove comes back with an olive branch in his mouth. The third time he opens the window and sends out the dove, the Bible says that the dove never returned. Now, if the dove represents the Holy Spirit, let's take a moment and let's just imagine that dove representing the Holy Spirit. And from that time forward, the Holy Spirit started flying down through the thousands of years of human history, and it was looking for somewhere to light upon. You see, from that very moment that dove began its flight down through the ages of human history, it was looking for a place to dwell. And the dove, the Holy Spirit, from time to time would land upon different men and women, and he would empower them for greatness in their times of need. Let me give you some examples of this. He flew in a time of bondage past the iron grip of a demonized Pharaoh, and he landed upon a crying baby in a bulrush basket floating in the Nile River. He anointed that baby Moses, who had a speech impediment, to be one of the greatest deliverers of Israel's history as he led over 3 million people out of that bondage with nothing more than a stick in his hand and a stutter in his mouth. Think about that. That's the power of the Holy Spirit on the life of a man or a woman. That dove flew in a time of famine upon a very dysfunctional family, and it lit upon a young man by the name of Joseph. He was sold into slavery by his brothers who faked his death. But what they meant for evil, God meant for good. I'm about to preach myself happy right here. You see, even dungeons and prison bars could not keep this dove from moving upon a man's life. He made his way past the guards. He made his way past the bars. He set upon Joseph. He anointed him. And guess what? He became the second in command in all of Egypt. Why? Because that's what the power of the Holy Spirit does in the life of a human being that will let the Holy Spirit rest upon them. He didn't stop there. He kept flying and landing upon men and women all through the Bible. One of them was a little girl in Judges chapter 4 by the name of Jael. Think about this. The Israelites were fighting Sisera, and the Israelites had finally beaten Sisera, and Sisera had run for his life. And Sisera, in the middle of the night, had snuck into a tent. And a little girl there by the name of Jael recognized that this was the enemy. And the Holy Spirit came upon her. This sounds bad. The Holy Spirit came upon this little girl. And when Sisera fell asleep, she took a tent peg and she drove it through his temple. And she killed the enemy of God. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. He's looking for anybody that he can use. Now, I'm not telling you go get a tent peg and drive it through anybody's temple today. That happened in the Old Testament. Come on, how many is glad we're under a time of grace? But still, this dove, he flew through troubled days and he lit upon young men like Gideon, who was the least of his brethren, cowering in a wine press, hiding from the enemy. That precious dove got upon him and he turned that coward into one of the most courageous warriors who defeated a mighty army with 300 scraggly men with nothing more, check this out, than pitchers, lamps, and ram's horn. Can I just stop right here and tell you that if you've got the power of the Holy Spirit on your life, you don't need all these other things. The power of the Holy Spirit is enough. How many know if God be for you, who can be against you? Right? This dove has been seen flying in a pasture filled with sheep, as a little shepherd boy was on the backside of that pasture playing his harp and singing songs of praise. He's just a little young boy. He's not qualified to really be anything supernatural. But when the dove came by and heard the worship in that little boy's heart, the Bible says that that dove sat upon little David and it made him one of the greatest warrior kings in all of Israel's history. That's the power of the dove setting upon us. And even when the nation had forgotten God, the dove never left them. Think about that. When Israel had walked away from God, God never walked away from them. In fact, the Bible says that it flew into a palace with hanging gardens in Babylon. And there it found three little Hebrew boys that wouldn't bow their knees in compromise to the king. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they were cast into a furnace of persecution. That dove that had been flying from the book of Genesis chapter 1, found its way in that fiery furnace and wrapped its big old asbestos wings around those three Hebrew boys, and they came out of there not even smelling like the fire that they went into. That's the dove that I'm talking about today. That wonderful dove, ladies and gentlemen, just kept on moving down through history because he was on an assignment. From time to time, he would set upon people. But he wasn't just looking to light on somebody for a moment. He was looking to rest on them. He wanted a permanent dwelling place. For 4,000 years, from Genesis 1 all the way to the book of Matthew, listen to this, he would set upon judges and kings and prophets and common people, even Rahab the harlot and others, to do the will of God. But then all of a sudden, that dove found its way over into the beginning of the New Testament period. He flew into a little small village called Nazareth on a very cold desert night. He found a young woman who had never been touched by a man. He saw the favor of God resting on her countenance. He then moved, the Bible says, upon her womb, and she conceived a child. Not just any child. This wasn't just the byproduct of some fleshly passion. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost hovered around this child until one day, as he soared upon the winds of the Judean wilderness, he saw a crowd gather. And this dove pushed Jesus to go down to John the Baptist. And there in the Jordan River, just like we saw today, John the Baptist placed those people into the water. And Jesus came down. And Jesus was baptized in water, and the Bible says this dove came and was seen resting upon him. The Holy Spirit rested upon Jesus like a dove descending. And the scripture says that Jesus rose. I'm about to get myself really excited now. Jesus arose from that river, and that dove went into the wilderness with him. And the devil threw everything but the kitchen sink at him, trying to get him to vacate his purpose. But you can't overcome a man and woman that is full of the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to take an opportunity right now and thank God for the dove. And so after 40 days of temptation, listen to what the Bible says in Luke. And he returned in the power of the Spirit. Temptation just made the dove stronger in his life. Can I tell you something? Trials and tribulations, struggle, just makes the anointing of the Holy Ghost stronger in your life. And for the next 3 years, that dove moved upon that man Jesus. The lame walked. The crippled would leap around. The dumb learned to talk. Demons were driven crazy and were run out of territories. The blind would receive their sight. The dead were even raised back to life again, all because of the power of the Holy Spirit on Jesus. And the scripture says Jesus carried that dove into the face of dead religious activity. He would go into the synagogues where there was no moving of the Holy Spirit at all. And I'm going to tell you why there was no moving at all. He would go into the synagogues, and there in the face of dead religious activity, he would carry the dove. And the Spirit of God would move, heal withered hands in the synagogue where they hadn't seen miracles in a long time. I'm about to preach now. They had good preaching, but they didn't have the moving of the Spirit of Almighty God. They heard good readings of Scripture, but they never saw signs and wonders and miracles until somebody with the dove came in with the power of the Holy Spirit upon them. Amen. The Bible tells us that Jesus then carried that dove into the hall of Pilate's repulsive house. He also carried that dove into Herod's abusive hands. He carried that dove up the Via Dolorosa with a cross upon his back. He carried that dove as he crawled on that cross, and they drove spikes into his feet and hands. He then died, and the Bible says he gave up the ghost. And then 3 days later, ladies and gentlemen, that same dove that he had just gave up 3 days later unsealed that tomb, rolled the stone away, put the Roman soldiers to sleep, and resurrected Jesus. The same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. You see, God was up to something. And then that same dove rested on Jesus for 40 days. And the Bible says of over 500 witnesses, they saw him doing signs and wonders and miracles. Why? Because he had the dove on his life. You see, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had a plan. The Holy Spirit that started flying, that dove that started flying in the book of Genesis, had an intention. It's the ultimate intention of God. God's intention was that this dove would not only come upon man, but he would be inside of man. He would dwell in man. And so 50 days later, at the command of the Lord Jesus, a little small group of 120, discouraged, weak men and women gathered in an upper room to celebrate the feast called Pentecost. And the Bible says as they were praying, as they sat there, they worshiped God. Guess what happened? God once again opened a window in heaven's ark, because when Jesus ascended, he took that dove right back up to heaven. And then all of a sudden, God opened a window in heaven's ark for one last time. He released that. I'm about to get happy again. He released that dove out of that window, and that dove went swooping down through the Judean area. It went through the Jordan Valley. It went right along the Kidron Valley, and it got all the way down to Jericho where Jesus was baptized. He was flying from familiar territory. It took a right. It went over the Mount of Olives. And as it crossed the Mount of Olives, there was that beautiful seventh wonder of the world, the temple there. And just off beside the temple, there was a room with 120 people in it that were praying, waiting on something. Who were they waiting on? They were waiting on that dove. love that had been released and flying down through time. And the Bible says they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. I believe that rushing mighty wind was the wings of that powerful dove swooping down in that place. And the Bible says it filled everybody in the house. Everybody got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? That's the dove, the Holy Spirit that I'm talking about. Now let me transition into what I'm preaching today. Paul comes along and he makes this statement. Now I want you to look at it again in Ephesians 4:30. Grab your Bible, because there's some stuff in this verse we need to look at. Paul makes a statement about this dove. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. You see that? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, why did Paul say grieve not the Holy Spirit? Because it was a 4,000-year flight. And now that he was here to stay, Paul was saying, don't run him off. We have been seeing what this dove could do for the last 4,000 years. And now that he's here, let's don't run him off. We don't need just a visitation of this dove. We need the habitation of the Holy Spirit amongst us. Don't run it off. I told the early service a story I want to tell you today. The greatest Christian I've ever known was my pastor. My pastor just died about a month or so ago. I buried him, 92 years old. I'd never seen anybody that knew the word like my pastor. I never heard my pastor ever in my lifetime say a negative word about any human being. And if there was a negative conversation that would take place, he would get up out of the room and he would go to a different room. He would not even sit at the table if you started talking about people. My pastor was a prayer warrior. Let me tell you about my pastor. 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning when he got up, if you were there visiting, he would dismiss himself from the table and he would go into a room and he would pray, and you would hear him in there calling upon the name of the Lord. After a few minutes, he didn't pray a long time. After a few minutes, he would come out, and around lunchtime, if you were staying at the house, my pastor would say, excuse me for a few moments. He never made ado about what he was doing. He just would dismiss himself politely. He would go into that room. You'd hear the door shut, and next thing you'd know he's down in there on his knees, and you would hear him calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And then at night, every night, he did this every day, 3 times a day, 6 p.m. If you were at the house, he would dismiss himself. And if you were at dinner, he would dismiss himself and go to the car if you were out eating. And he would go to the car, and for a few minutes, he would call upon the name of the Lord. And one day I asked him, I said, Pastor, what's the most important thing you could tell me? If you're going to tell me anything, what's the most important thing you could tell me about being a Christian? He said, never underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And he said, Shane, he said, one day I was having coffee and I was sitting at the table. And he said, right there beside the table is a window. And he said, a little dove came. And he said, it just lit on the windowsill as I was having my coffee. And he said, that dove stayed there as long as I was very careful not to spook him. He said, but after a while, he said, my wife came and she said something and I turned too quick. And when I did, the Holy Spirit, the dove, just lifted up and flew off. And he said, that's exactly like the Holy Spirit is in the life of a believer. He said, he's so tender. He's so soft. He can be grieved. He can be vexed. He can be hurt. He can be offended. He can be blasphemed. He said, whenever you find the Holy Spirit is moving in your life, or whenever you find the Holy Spirit is moving in your church, he said, be ever so careful that you don't do the wrong thing and have that dove to fly off. I realize now he was trying to tell me what the Apostle Paul was telling me in Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Say that with me out loud. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now here's what I feel today. Just like over the last few minutes you've heard the dove crying over and over again, I want to submit to you that maybe Prince was writing the song for the modern day church, because we're such a dysfunctional family. The body of Christ is so dysfunctional. The church is in such a mess. And I believe that we have grieved the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And we wonder where revival is. We wonder where miracles are. We wonder why God's not doing some of the things that all of us have seen Him do in the past. It's because we have grieved the Spirit of Almighty God. And we need that Spirit to come back and set again in our churches. Today I want to tell you that it's unfortunate, but for me to report this is heartbreaking, that the modern day synthetic Spirit-filled church now wants to cave this precious dove and put him in a back room in a closet somewhere for fear that he will scare people who come to church. So what we do is we say we don't want the Holy Spirit to move in signs and wonders and miracles, and God forbid that we get real radical in worship, because there's a generation that we might scare. The Holy Spirit will scare them. Can I tell you something? I've seen and been in some of the most radical moves that any human being has ever been in, and I've never seen a sinner scared when it was really the Holy Ghost moving in a service. Instead, I've seen the opposite. I've seen the sinner run to the altar. When it's the real Holy Spirit, it doesn't scare people. It convicts people. It changes people. The reason the young people ran out of the cafe to get into the sanctuary wasn't because of my preaching, but because the river of the Holy Ghost started flowing in the room, and they wanted this more than they wanted anything else. I got to get myself under control here. I'm about to get happy. The modern day church has chosen Cokes and pizza and cookies and programs and games and concerts and all these things. And I love all of this stuff. I'm not against any of this stuff. But what we've done is we've tried to use all of these gimmicks. And that's all they are, folks. Is a gimmick to entice people to come in. Well, you might get them in the house that way, but you'll never get them delivered that way. You'll never get them healed that way. You'll never get them saved that way. You got to have the power of the Holy Ghost to set the captive free. We need the Holy Spirit. We try to cage the dove, but the truth is we can't cage the dove. But let me tell you what we can do. We can't offend him. Come on. To the point that he'll leave here and fly down to another church downtown. Yeah. He'll finally find somebody in Cookeville, Tennessee, who'll want the move of the Holy Spirit and value it. And he'll light right there. And then the Spirit of God will start doing the miraculous in that place. What I'm trying to tell you today is I believe, like Prince's family, the body of Christ is in many ways is dysfunctional. And we offend the dove all the time. Now, I want us to go for just a moment back to Ephesians 4, verse 30. In fact, tell you what, just don't look at your Bible. Look at the screen. Ephesians 4, verse number 30. Go back to verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Say it out loud. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Come on, say it again.
Do not grieve.
Now keep that verse right there. I know what you're going to say. Well, hold it, Pastor. It's addiction that grieves him. Sexual immorality grieves him. It's the big sins that grieve him. I'm telling you, these are the things that really grieve the Holy Spirit of God and keep him from moving in our midst. That's not what Paul said. Now those things, sin does grieve him because he's holy. It does grieve him. So I'm not advocating any sin at all. But let me show you what Paul said will cage this bird. Ready for the next verse? Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Do you know what offends the Holy Spirit the most? Christian people who are in disunity, fighting with one another, full of bitterness and unforgiveness, can't control their tempers, their anger. We did read that in the Bible, right? It makes that dove cry. It makes the dove cry. Do you know one of the biggest ways to have the greatest move of God you've ever seen? Love one another. Be tenderhearted to one another. Be kind to one another. You want to have a revival? Let's start loving each other and seeing what happens. I told the early service, I want to tell you this. We're not in competition with anybody. People come to me all the time and say, what do you think about this church? What do you think? God bless them. If they're preaching Jesus, if they believe that Jesus is the Savior, the only way to heaven, and by His blood you are saved, if they believe in God the Father, the Spirit, and the Son, I can walk with them and worship with them. We might vary. We might differ on little minute things of doctrine. But if I got somebody who believes that Jesus is who He says He is, and He died for my sin, and He's alive today sitting at the right hand of the Father, I'm celebrating. Listen, folks, we don't need less churches in America. We need more churches in America. We're not in competition with anybody. I'm not trying to be like anybody. I'm not trying to steal anybody. I'm telling you right now, I'm not doing that. We're going to operate in love and unity. We're going to bless and not curse. We're not calling fire down on anybody. Actually, we're calling for God to send the fire right here at the bend, because we want the dove right here. Now, I'm going to give you one last scripture, and Adam's going to come to the keyboard, because that way you'll think I'm leaving. I want you to go with me to the book of Acts chapter 7. Stand with me in the room. Acts chapter 7. Everybody say this, host the ghost.
Host the ghost.
We want to be the host of the Holy Spirit here. I told you that Noah released two birds out of that ark. What was the first bird I told you he released?
Raven.
And the raven didn't return, because the raven eats what?
Flesh.
A great bulk of people who sit in church calling themselves Christians are really ravens. They're like Galatians talked about. Paul said, you bite and devour one another. Ravens feeding on flesh. Can I prove it to you? When a brother or sister falls, is overcoming a sin, do you know what the church does? We talk about it. We shun them. When in reality, the Bible says, ye who are spiritual shall restore such a one. When a brother or sister goes and eats flesh, we make a big deal about the flesh they ate, instead of getting them back in right relationship with God. Y'all are going to never forget that sound. If there's any bird that we need to cage, it's the raven. Let's cage the raven in our soul that desires to live a fleshly life. Right? And let's release the dove. Turn the dove loose. Now, Acts chapter 7, verse 51 sums up my message the best. In fact, I thought about not even preaching. I was just going to open my scripture, pray, and then I was going to read my last scripture, Acts 7, and everybody go home, and I think you would have got the message. Listen to what was said to a church that had the fire of God in it. The Holy Spirit moving strongly. One group is on fire and another group's not. Listen what was said to the group that's not. You stiff-necked people. Your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Look at me. I don't want to be in that camp. I'm not going to be in that camp. In fact, I've told the Lord, Lord, if you're doing something new and I'm standing in the way of it, would you go ahead and take breath from my body so that I don't cause the Holy Spirit to weep? I don't want to stand in the way of God. I've been serving the Lord since 1982, 12 years old. Last night we went to a Predators game. I had a blast. I love hockey. I mean, anytime you can let three or four men fight for a little while, it's just testosterone going, right? We were at the Predators game, and on the way down there, I had two guys with me, and I said, let's go somewhere first. We walked down to Broad Street, And as we came across the corner right there, sitting on Broad, is where the old Nashville Mission used to sit, where they fed the poor, the homeless. Big rock columns sitting right on the corner. I grabbed those guys. I said, right here is where I learned how to preach the gospel. This is where my ministry started, is right here. They said, what do you mean? I said, this was the mission. Back then in 1982, Broad Street wasn't a tourist trap. It's where all the drug pushers were, the gang members, the prostitutes. It was terrible down there. Terrible. And every Tuesday night at 12 years old, I'd catch a van and I'd go down there and I would stand in front of that mission with a guitar around my neck and I'd sing, and the homeless and addicts would come around, and when I got a little crowd, I'd do like Johnny Cash. I'd sling the guitar around my back and I'd take out my little Bible and I'd start preaching about Jesus. Right there. And I started praying a prayer at 12 years old that I've never stopped praying. Listen to this. Because what I would see is the older people got, the more stiff-necked they got against the Spirit of God. And it would hurt my heart so bad. And I would say, God, don't ever let me get there. In fact, Lord, before I get there, break my neck. Take me out of this world. Go ahead and take me to heaven. But don't ever let me get to the place that when God's doing a new thing in the earth, that I'm fighting against what God's doing. I don't want that. So listen, I don't know what the next revival is going to look like. I don't know what the next move of God's going to sound like. But I can tell you this, it'll probably be different than anything anybody in this room has ever experienced before. Yeah, it'll have some similarities in the tangible presence of God that comes. But the ways that it happens, the look that it happens, might be totally different. Last night, I asked Noah, because it was his birthday, and we're celebrating his birthday. We're sitting in there, and they got this QR code up here, and they got this going here, and these going here. And I said, you know what, Noah, how can we make church more interactive to draw the lost? Because all we do is same kind of service everybody else does. How can we make it more interactive? Listen, folks, I don't care what it takes at this point. If I have to do games, I don't care what it takes, as long as the presence of the Holy Ghost is here and people are being converted and changed, I don't care what it takes. Here's what I am going to do. I'm not going to stiffen my neck against the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to let it be said about me, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Is that your heart? Could you lift up those holy hands? Lord, this is our desire. More than breath in our body, our desire is to be able to host you, Holy Spirit. Our desire, first of all, is that you, great heavenly dove, would come and rest upon us. Rest upon me individually. I need you more than I've ever needed you before. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking you not only to rest on me, but rest on us as a church corporately. I pray in Jesus' name that you would rest on us and that you would anoint us for the purpose of heaven to do what you've called us to do. Holy Spirit, we're not going to resist you. In fact, we yield to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick story. I'm going to let you go home. It's 12:14. I'm telling you. Yesterday, or Friday rather, I was going to get my oil changed. Typical routine maintenance, nothing spectacular. I'm very methodical about my vehicle, everything I have. Anybody that knows me, tell you it's clean and taken care of. If I ever sell a vehicle, buy it. It's the best maintained vehicle in the world. But I said, I got to go get my oil changed. So I got up real early and went down to the dealership and pulled in, and they said, what you want? I said, I want my oil changed, all my fluids, check everything, give me the full works and rotate my tires, because I always rotate my tires about every 5,000 miles. I'm just always done it. And after about 30 minutes, they come in the waiting room in there and said, well, hey, Shane, we got a problem. So we're not even touching your tires. Well, I mean, we're literally not pulling them off the vehicle. In the back, you got about a number two or three tread, and you got belts showing through in the back of the tires. I said, how's that possible? I only got 25,000 miles on my truck. How's that possible? He said, you just got some bad tires or something. I said, well, they're under warranty, or surely, you know. And so he said, and the front tires ain't much better. You got one belt on the inside of the wall about to bust loose. And the other one, I thought, my goodness, I just, the day before, I was in Knoxville driving the interstates. So he said, well, I'm just telling you right now, you better get tires. So long story short, I ended up having to go to a tire place and get tires. And they were taking care of some warranty stuff. So I'm in there in this tire place, and I get everything set up, and they're telling me it's going to take a little while. And I sat down in the waiting room, and there's a little girl that's sitting across from me. I saw when she drove up, this little girl had bald tires on the front of her car. I'm talking about they were slick. They looked like air balloons. And so I knew she was needing tires, and I figured that's what she's coming in there for. And I wasn't really paying attention, but she went up to the front desk and did her business. She come and sat across from me in the waiting room. Nobody's talking to anybody, and you know. But that morning, before I left the house, I'd been praying through what I'm preaching to you today. And I said, Holy Spirit, I need you to use me today. Holy Spirit, make me sensitive today. Talk through me today. Use me today like you used Jesus. I started praying that like that. And so I'm sitting there in the waiting room, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, help that little girl. And I said to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I don't know if you know this or not, but we live in a different time, the Me Too movement, and it's probably not appropriate for a 50-year-old man to start talking to a college girl, right? And I'm having this conversation with, I'm telling the Holy Spirit why I shouldn't do what he's telling me to do. Why y'all look at me in such a religious tone of voice? You know you've done that. Well, about that time, I'm having this conversation. All of a sudden, the lady comes from back of the counter, and she comes to the girl, and she says, honey, I'm sorry. We can't fix your tires. They're just ruined. She said, you got to have brand new tires. She turned around, walked back to the counter, and the little girl literally sat down in the chair, and she threw her head back like this. And as soon as she did, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I told you to help her. He said, buy her tires. I said, Lord, I don't know if you know this, how much my tires cost, but. He said, buy her tires. He said, you asked me to use you. Here's your chance. Here's your chance, big boy. You asked me to use you. So I went up to the counter, and by this time, the girl's up the counter saying, I can't do it. Just give me my car. You know, I'm going to have to leave. And I said to her, I said, honey, how much are those tires? I asked the lady behind the counter. She said, oh, she said, they're $250. I said, just put it on my tab. I'll take care of it. The little girl started freaking out. She said, oh, no, 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 you can't do it. She starts crying and weeping. She said, no, 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 you can't do that. I said, I can do whatever I want to do. I'm 52 years old. And she said, no, 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 I can't. You can't. I can't. I said, no, I'm not. She said, I'll pay you back. We start going down that road. I said, no, 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 no. I'm not a bank. I don't give loans. I'm a Christian. I give. And I said, honey, $250 ain't nothing. Y'all think $250 is a lot of money. It's not a lot of money. $10 million a year is a lot of money. $250 is nothing. I said, I'm gonna buy those tires. Next thing I know, she's sitting beside me. Now she's showing me her dog pictures and her mom's pictures. She's going through it, and I said, what's your mom's name? She told me her mom's name, and I said, Pam and I went to high school with her. It was a lady I went to high school with. It's her daughter, little teenage daughter in there. She said, well, I'm just a college student. I don't have any money. I said, that's all right. I've been a college student. I don't have any money either. I said, look at what God has done. God has orchestrated my tires messing up. I started to blame her for $1,250 worth of tires, but I said, look at what I had. You realize a year ago I bought this truck. I could have bought any truck, but God wanted me to buy this truck. And God orchestrated me buying this truck to get me here at this moment because he knew you were going to be here and you were going to need tires. So he orchestrated your tires to mess up so that I would pay for it. I said, God's working everything together for your good. God loves you so much. And I started just sharing the love of God with this little girl. She's just crying. She's not crying. Well, there's another guy standing right there beside. And I noticed when I jumped and went to the counter, this young man jumped up too. To go to the counter. So after a while, he sat down, and I'm talking to this girl, and I said, honey, I said, let me just tell you something. It wasn't only me that was going to help you today. I said, you didn't notice it. But whenever the Holy Spirit spoke to me to buy, I said, evidently the Holy Spirit spoke to this man. He must be a Christian too, because he jumped up to come help you as well. And he said, well, Shane, I know who you are. Don't you know who I am? I said, no, who are you? He said, well, my name's Keith. He said, you and I went to church together at Trinity. He said, I worked in maintenance under Coop. I said, Keith, I hadn't seen you in 25 years, man. He said, well, I wouldn't recognize you either. And I said, I sure didn't recognize you. And so now we're hugging, and we got this girl, and we're just so happy there in the foyer, right? Listen, it don't have to be a sign, wonder, miracle, a tongue, interpretation of tongues, some kind of big prophecy in church. The Holy Ghost wants to work miracles through you in somebody's life that is hurting and broken and blind and destitute and needs help. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about today. So anyway, I finally got my truck. They got done. It took them about 2 hours. They got done. I give the girl a hug and tell her thank you. And Keith said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. He said, I actually got money back on my tires. And he said, God told me to give you this money. And he reached in his pocket and he gave that little girl money. I said, look at this. I said, I'm jealous. God paid for your tires and gave you extra money to go out and eat on. I said, look at how God works. Right? I really didn't think anything about it. Honestly, I didn't think nothing about it. I go out and I get in my truck and I'm driving off. And I'll tell you where I was headed. I was headed over to the property, because every day I go over there and pray. And I'm driving around through town. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks to me right here. And he said, that seed you just sowed is going to cause your property to be debt free. Right here. Now, I didn't do it for that. And I even said, Holy Spirit, I'm not doing it. He said, I know you didn't do it for that. He said, I wanted to see if you would be obedient. And I said, Lord, I didn't give enough. Seriously. I said, that's a lot of life. He said, this seed you sowed is going to open the door for your miracle. And he said, now tell the church tomorrow so there'll be a witness when it happens that it was the seed that you gave under the inspiration of my spirit to that little girl that caused it to happen. So when it happens, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find somebody else to give $250 to, right? One more time, lift your hands. I pray the Lord would bless you and keep you. I pray the Holy Spirit would make a way for you to be a blessing to somebody. I pray that God would anoint you to be a miracle for somebody, to be the prayer warrior for somebody, whatever it is, that the Holy Spirit would help you be so sensitive that you'll just move quickly and that God will do a miracle through you. I pray it in Jesus' name. And you receive it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, that's good right there. Can we give the Lord a praise in the room? All right. Now, two things. Remember, I'm going to be sending you out a text with the link. Second thing is, don't miss Wednesday night. We've been having fun. And we've had large crowds on Wednesday night. I've been very shocked. We're just having revival. So come be a part of that. Listen, on your way out the door, you better love on somebody. After me preaching like that, you better love on somebody today. Give somebody a hug for a change and tell them how good they look. And I'll see you Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m.